Good morning and welcome. Happy Tuesday, my friends. Yep, it's Trash Talking Tuesday. I'm Bob Rose. Greg Cassidy is here. And it is 6:08, your time check. Brought to you by Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. All right, so we've got a new coach, John Sumrall. He's been introduced to everybody. Sounds like he's pumped up and ready to go. And, Well, listen to what he said.
We're going to do everything we can to win fast. I have a plan for how we can win long term, but like I want to win tomorrow and today and every day. Like I already referenced my son. He's 12. We play basketball in the backyard. He gets his butt kicked because I want to win. I'm not very patient. I respect the Florida fan base is not patient. They want to win right now too. You got the right coach. I'm wired that way. I'm not comfortable having a plan to win in 8 years. I want to win tomorrow.
Sounds pretty good to me. I don't know. We'll give the guy all the support that we can. They already made the decision. He's the guy. Mm-hmm. So you can second guess. You can do whatever you want all day long. You can whine. You can not go to the games. I love the Gators. I support the Gators. I don't know. Strickland made a good call or not here. A little thin on experience, I think. But like he said, you know, if you're a winner, you're a winner. Well, we'll see. We'll see how that goes, and I'll be very supportive. And, of course, we all hope the program gets back to more like what it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you can't win the SEC every year, you can't win a national championship every year. You know, we're getting to the point now where, like, can we just stay above 500? Which, that's not asking for much anymore. All right, riding around on your little scooter. Parking in your little handicapped spot. You better really be handicapped.
Oh, yeah?
You hear about this?
No, I missed this.
More than 30 handicapped placards were seized after they were being used illegally. Major crackdown.
Wow.
Yeah, had to take on mostly elderly people, tackled them in the parking lot.
There's a visual.
Oh, yeah. It was SWAT. It was everything.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And... I said, they're not protesting, just, you know, treat them nicely. But anyway, this was a two-day operation that was conducted at Target stores and Walmart stores in the Mount Dora area.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sure it's abused a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You know it is.
Yeah. The goal of the operation was to protect accessible parking spaces for community members who truly depend on them. Look, you're in Mount Dora, and I'm not trying to be facetious or ugly or anything like that. There's a lot of elderly, and there truly is a lot of handicapped people, you know?
Yeah.
And so they need those spaces. During the operation, police conducted more than 80 traffic stops, recovered more than 30 handicapped placards being used illegally.
Wow.
So out of 80, 30 of them were being used illegally. It's a crime. You can be arrested for this. Now, that I didn't know.
I knew the fines were big.
Yeah.
Wow.
What is shocking is just here in the small town of Mount Dora, just in those 2 days, the number of people that we contacted.
So imagine in a bigger metro or whatever, how many are you being used?
Yeah, it's a little town, but if you look at percentages,
that's huge.
It really is. And the Keith Vidler, Mount Dora PD, he brought the idea from another jurisdiction to Mount Dora. He said his mother and grandmother are in wheelchairs. He said, it's lazy. People are just lazy.
Uh-huh.
Granted, it's the holidays. Parking lots are full. They just don't want to park in the back lot. They want to use that up front spot. They hang that placard and get out there knowing that, you know, it didn't belong to them.
That's just wrong. Just wrong.
When they find offenders, police officers or deputies have three options. Municipal violation, state citation, or arrest.
Whoa, that's serious. They're taking it serious.
Yep.
Hmm.
They were doing mostly the state issue citation for $183.
Okay. Well, you know, if it's a first infraction, that sort of thing. I mean, you got to make a point, obviously. But yeah,
you ask them. You go. So, how many times do you think you used this?
Oh. They're probably not going to be honest.
Yeah.
Oh, officer, it's the first time.
You know, it's one thing if no one's around, if there's not a demand for those spots. I think that's pretty rare in some of those places where there's the retirement communities.
Because there aren't that many of those spots in a lot of places, even, you know, a good-sized parking lot. There's not that many of them.
But it seems like over the last few, well, maybe more than a few years, but they started to really expand that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, getting tough in Mount Dora.
Well, good. They should.
I remember the one time I did climb Mount Dora.
Really? Wow. It had to be something else.
No, it was pretty easy.
I'm just trying to give you the credit.
I think I just walked to the top of the street. That's pretty much all I did.
That was it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were there.
Yeah. Yeah, I was there.
Do you have a picture? Because without pictures, it didn't happen.
I'm sure I've got pictures.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
We'll believe you then.
I'll have to go do some digging now. Mm-hmm. Oh, remember that high school football coach that was missing? He had an undefeated season?
Yes.
And he's gone.
Yeah.
And it was, Virginia or West Virginia? It was Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it happened, like, I don't know, around the break, and I didn't have a chance to tell everybody that why the police were looking for him, other than the fact that he was missing.
Right.
So it had something to do with child pornography.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so here's the last we have on that. The wife, he's still missing.
Oh, wow.
The wife of the missing Virginia football coach has deleted all her social media in the wake of the public allegations of child pornography that's lodged against the coach. Leslie Caudill Turner, Turner's wife of 25 years, had initially defended her husband on social media, saying that all accusations against Travis were false. Last week, she told the media, "None of that is true. I don't know anything. I don't know anything. I'm sorry."
Hmm.
However, now she's deleted all her social media accounts. Police in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, reported last month they were looking for Travis Turner, the head coach of Union High School, in connection with an investigation whose nature they would not initially define. Remember I said,
right.
Why don't they say why they're looking for him? What's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
They were very close-lipped about it. Now we know why. The coach had disappeared on November 20th, just before the police attempted to interview him over the case. It was soon revealed police suspected him of possession of child porn, soliciting a minor. Prosecutors say Turner faces 5 counts of child pornography, another 5 of soliciting a minor.
Wow.
Police further say they reported that Turner had been seen running into the woods near his home and that he was armed with a handgun. The last known contact the family had with him occurred on or about Thursday, November 20th. We're at December 2nd now.
You hate to speculate, but, and it may be soon, but we know how a lot of these end.
Yeah. Well, somebody who was a pillar in the community, respected, successful coach.
You're going to lose it all.
Wife, kids.
Uh-huh. Career.
Yeah, the future looks very, very bleak. And,
we'll see.
Yeah, we will.
Interesting, though.
New York City harboring over 11,000 illegals. In some ways, that number seems almost low, doesn't it?
For New York?
Yeah.
They're just not trying.
I don't know about that.
Okay.
Oh, maybe they're looking for more socialists, not just illegals in general.
Oh, okay.
We've got that. We've got a lot more to look forward to on this Trash Talkin' Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. It is 6:17, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky. Yeah, that's what we need, a little VH to pump you up in the morning. Good morning. It is 6:21 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. And it's a Trash Talking Tuesday, thanks to Florence Recycling. Semi-locally, I mean, Mount Dora area, handicap placard seized, cops cracking down. Yeah, tackling grandma in the parking lot. Show us your ID. Are you really handicapped? I mean, they were going through. And of the 80 people that they actually pulled over or talked to, out of 80, 30 of them were fraudulent. 30 out of 80. Wow.
That's a lot.
There's some bad old people down there. Well, I don't know if they were all old.
Well, I was going to say, it doesn't necessarily mean they're old. I mean,
that's just true.
You know.
Yeah.
Some of the ones that are cheating aren't.
But we're not talking about the Villages.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm telling a story entirely different.
But close.
Close.
Very, very close.
Yeah.
Let's see. There was a football game last night. What do they call it? Monday Night Football? Yeah, that's the one.
It's usually on Mondays.
Yeah. The Patriots beat the Giants 33-15. I mean, you know, I don't know. It's not a big headline getter. But I tell you what did get the headlines, and you've got to see the video. Their kicker for the Giants, Young-Ho Koo.
Who?
Young-Ho.
Oh, him.
Yo, Young-Ho. Sometimes I just call him Koo.
Yeah.
What up, Koo?
Man, you're so Koo.
So, you know how they approach, you know, to kick a field goal.
Yeah.
And they take that, you know, stride, two or three steps. They plant, if they're right footed, they plant that left foot very close to the, you know, to the ball. And then they follow through with their other leg. Because remember, you got to get it, like, just off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get it airborne, and you got to push it hard enough to get it many, many yards down the field.
This one didn't work that way.
This one was like, if you were at a golf course and you take out your club and you swing and it just sticks in the dirt.
Yeah.
Because that's what his foot did. I mean, he couldn't follow through. He was like, he should have filed for a permit to dredge. That's how deep it was.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so.
It's got to hurt.
So that's the, I'm sure his ego's hurt very much.
Oh, yeah.
But it looked like his planted foot maybe placed it just a hair too far, and then it slipped forward just a little more, and it threw off the whole equation.
Man,
and I can tell you, I'll tell you this, kicking field goals is a lot harder than it looks.
Well, the good ones always make it look easy.
I was at the Tampa Bay game on Sunday, and these guys, you know, ones that are like punting the ball.
Yeah.
TV gives it no justice. I mean, the spiral that they kick as high as the stadium is, and it goes like 65 yards. 70 yards. It's impressive. It really is. But he's a little embarrassed.
Yeah.
So he'll be probably keep a low profile for a while. And you feel bad for him though.
Mm-hmm.
Young-Ho Koo. He's still young?
Yeah.
So he'll learn from that experience.
He's still cool.
Yeah. Went to school with his sister. Hi. Back in the day.
Haiku?
Yeah. You remember that? Remember what a haiku is? Wow. Culturally. Where were you? Where'd you grow up? Mississippi? Explains a couple of things.
No.
All right. What else we got on the agenda here? Told you about the new coach coming in. John Sumrall. Got a nice little introduction there by the athletic director. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have to get by with a 6-year, $44.7 million contract. This guy's going to be on food stamps. You can't.
Well, he's got all his kids to feed, too.
So. Yeah.
You know.
And that averages out to about $7.45 million per year, but that's before taxes.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people think, wow, I could get by on $7 million a year. Hey, well, let's see if you can get by on $3.5 million, pal.
Well, and if he lives in Gainesville, you know, just saying.
He said, we had options, we had choices. My wife and I, we sat down, we chose Florida. We made that decision. Now, Florida had to choose us, but we chose it back.
Nice. So
it sounds like a love story already.
Aww.
I like it.
I hear violins.
And yes, hopefully the struggling family will get by. He seems like he's got a lot of energy. Seems decent enough. I don't know. He wants to win right away. He knows that an offense, an explosive offense, isn't just a good idea. And for the Gators, it's mandatory. Explosive offense. How many times have I said that, Greg?
Oh, yeah.
Got to have an explosive offense.
Absolutely.
It's just how it works. All right. So anyway, he'll sneak by on that amount of money, and hopefully he'll be all right. If you see him, you know, like.
Oh, yeah. Slip him a 10 or something just to kind of
help
him out.
Yeah, or just hand him your bag of groceries. You know?
Yeah. We're going to have a food drive for him and the family, you know? People can just bring by groceries. And, yeah.
We only joke around because, I don't know.
We're jealous.
I was going to say envy, whatever.
Well,
envy,
no, just jealous. Downright jealousy. Envy just makes it sound
I don't want to trade places with anyone, but I would I'd take a portion of your paycheck. If
just one.
I'd take one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I've been very, very blessed. Never want to look past that. We've been given much, Greg. You get to work with me every day. That in itself.
Oh, I'm reminded of that every day. You remind me of that every day, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. I want to keep you humble, Greg.
Keep trying, Bob.
Keep trying to keep you humble. Or myself.
Well.
628, Bob Rose Show. Rolling. Greg Cassidy's here. More to come. Hang on. Controversy about Secretary of War Pete Hegseth ordering a second strike. Did he? Is that legal? The lefties, they're very ratcheted up all about it,
man.
But, you know.
Yeah, they like to.
They get excited about just about anything.
Well, they get somebody in trouble, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. 6:39 right now on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Never miss a minute of the show. Search the Bob Rose Show on your favorite app. Hit the follow button, and you can catch up on every episode, every hour, every highlight, whenever it works for you. Now on Apple, Spotify, iHeart, or wherever you get your podcasts. Some of our top stories. New coach for the Florida Gators, been introduced to everybody, Coach John Sumrall. And also in Mount Dora, they had like a sting operation of sorts and busted a bunch of people who weren't supposed to have handicap placards. 'Tis the season, right? President Trump had an MRI. They say everything's fine. Hopefully that's the case.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you find this troubling? Monday on CNN The Lead, Senator Mark Kelly reacted to the White House confirming Secretary of War Pete Hegseth authorized a follow-up strike on an alleged drug boat in the Caribbean in September, calling it incompetence at the highest level.
Hmm.
Host Jake Tapper said they confirmed the double-tap strike today. The White House, even though 2 days ago Sean Parnell at the Pentagon was saying the entire story was fabricated, made up out of whole cloth, it seems as though they're saying that Hegseth gave the order to kill everyone on board a lethal strike, that Admiral Mitch Bradley was in charge. He's the head of special forces, and that he is the one that gave the order for the second strike, the double tap on the survivors that were there. Who was ultimately responsible? Is there something wrong with the double tap strike with a second strike? Mark Kelly said, I think it's going to be really important for my committee, the Armed Services Committee that I sit on, the same thing in the House, to get these people in a room and get testimony from them under oath. Maybe part of it in a skiff in a secure facility, part of it publicly to get what the exact real story is. I think this is what happens when you put an incompetent individual in perhaps the second most important job in our country. The Secretary of Defense, Pete Hegseth, has no business being nominated. Republicans in the Senate should not have confirmed him, blah, blah, blah. No love lost there. He doesn't like him.
I think Mark Kelly can't walk by a microphone or a TV camera without stopping for a little criticism of the administration.
Yeah, and my understanding is there's pretty good amount of evidence that he hangs out with, let's just say, the very, very far-lefters that create and finance a lot of the problems that we're seeing. So, yeah, they're going to pick apart the administration any chance they get.
Yep.
The simple thing when I heard all of this was, look, yeah, it needs to be dealt with. Is that constitutionally legal? There are ramifications about maritime law, wartime, and whether you should do that, could do that. I don't know. But here's what I know. Once again, the Democrats are more worried about drug-dealing scumbags than they are worried about the health of the American people.
Yep.
And Maybe there does need to be, you know, convene a panel or whatever. And, you know, one of the things that I would do is march a bunch of families in front of them, and I'd say, hey, our son was a victim of these drug dealers. Mm-hmm. Our daughter was a victim of these drug dealers. Our dad was a victim of these drug dealers. The number one cause of death in adults 18 to 49 years old has been fentanyl poisoning. These are not people who are, you know, necessarily like big-time druggies, and they just, well, you just did a little too much.
Right.
Oh, no, not at all. It's not the case. And so I guess, once again, the Democrats find themselves way on the wrong side of, I think, what most Americans value.
Because you want those families to look at them and go, why are you defending the bad guys?
Yeah.
Tell me why you keep defending the criminals.
Now, I get it. We're America.
I get, yes.
We have a process. We don't want to just slaughter people for no reason. But look, you've been marked a terrorist organization.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing drugs into our country is a terrorist act.
Right.
If you get killed while you're doing that, I'm sorry. I don't have a problem with that.
I don't. No, again, we're not military. We don't fully, you know, have not been engulfed in that world of all the rules and regulations and all the war crime and all that. I'm sorry. I blew your boat up and somehow you managed to survive it. I mean, if you're shooting a bad guy and you miss or you just wing them, you typically will shoot again so they can't do what they're doing. So personally, again, taking away, again, no military experience. Don't claim to have any knowledge of all that. I got no problem with blowing him up. And if he seems to be getting away, well, we better try again.
In some cases, it actually may be humane.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because just because they're moving around, they believe they're still mm-hmm. alive, doesn't necessarily mean they're going to live. So it might be humane.
And what are they going to do if they survive today? What are they going to do tomorrow? They're going to try again.
And you look at it, it's not collateral damage.
No.
The drugs and the people that are behind it are both bad and mm-hmm. need to be exterminated.
Yep.
And when Obama was, you know, sending drones and missiles and taking out bad guys, I was all right with that too. And in most of those strikes, there was a lot of collateral damage.
Uh-huh.
They try to avoid it, but...
Yep. It happens.
6:45 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Yeah, a little bit more on that whole thing. Are we on the wrong side if we're blowing up survivors is one of the headlines. Details on the way. News Talk 97.3 The Sky. Prices are always going up, unfortunately. That's kind of the way it is, right? You think about when you were younger, your kid, what things cost, and everything just keeps going up, up, up. Good morning and welcome. It's 6:51 on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here. Here's a prime example, you know, that we can look back on, kind of,
okay.
And also where we're at, you know, right now. So I'm assuming that everybody is familiar with the movie Home Alone.
Mm-hmm.
And what's that noise?
Next door.
Is it really?
Yeah, because it's on in the hall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It sounded like a cat or something.
It's Christmas music in the background.
So if you had to stay in that Plaza Hotel, well, you know, what would it cost today?
Wow.
And it is just unbelievable. Let me see. I had a graph up here. Here you go.
Okay.
So back in the day, 1992, this is when Trump owned it. It was $1,100 to stay there for one night.
And that sounds like a lot.
Well,
it's the Plaza.
It's New York. It's the Plaza.
Yeah, I get it. But I would have never, couldn't afford to stay there.
Me neither.
So.
But now, what do you think it is?
Oh, man.
I honestly,
has it tripled?
More.
Really?
$6,244.
Now, is that for like the presidential suite or something?
Okay. It's a suite.
So it's like a house, basically. But still, It's over $6,000.
Is it a nice place? Oh, is what people ask, and I always say, it's sweet.
He probably really does do that.
Yeah. Wow. So
interesting.
To have a room service feast, because didn't he order that? He ordered the feast.
Yeah.
That was close to $1,000 back then.
Really?
Now it would be more than double, $2,233.
Oh, my goodness.
Ice cream sundae, considering this is from 92 to 2025, we're talking, 34 years, something like that, 33 years, only went from $18 to $24.
Really?
I mean, you're in a fancy pants hotel.
That's not
ice cream sundaes.
Yeah, percentage-wise.
But that's only a 33% increase.
Hmm.
So total cost, little Kevin getting in trouble.
Uh-huh.
$2,100 back in the day, and now $8,500. A 304% increase.
Amazing.
It just gives you
that's perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Hmm. And man, I haven't seen that movie in years.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Remember when they were trying to cut Trump's part out of it because they were just, you know, being jerks?
Yes.
Come on.
Well, yeah, and then we were talking just yesterday, I think, about he had a role in one of the Wall Street movies.
It never made it.
That just didn't make it, you know, the cutting room floor, but yeah, that was way before. I think it was 2010.
I guess I didn't realize that was his hotel. It just didn't click to me.
He doesn't own it anymore, right, obviously, but then, built Trump Tower. But
didn't think about that.
Oh, yeah, man. He did a lot of things when people weren't necessarily betting on New York.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. In the tough times, he was still moving forward for sure.
A federal appeals court has upheld a decision disqualifying Alina Habba, President Trump's former personal attorney, from continuing to serve as acting U.S. attorney for New Jersey. Habba, who Trump selected to serve as counselor to the president in December 24, before he elevated her to New Jersey's top prosecutor role in March, was voted out of the position in July after the district court judges decided to replace her, her chief of deputy, as her 120-day interim period came to a close.
Hmm.
The Department of Justice fired Habba's replacement, Desiree Grace, hours after the district judges voted her in. So DOJ steps up and says, oh, no, you don't. U.S. Attorney General Pam Bondi then installed Habba back in, giving her acting control of the office once again, as there was still no one serving as the state's U.S. attorney. So Monday's unanimous decision was made by a three-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals, and they ruled against DOJ's efforts. So I don't know what's going to happen now. The appeals court agreed, and the defendants on Habba's appointment, but did not dismiss their criminal cases. Huh.
That's interesting.
So, yeah, and I mean, hey, you're friends with Trump? You're connected to Trump?
Yeah.
We're going to make your life difficult.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, plus it affects the outcomes of cases that they have concern about. So there's that.
Yep. It is 6:56 on the Bob Rose Show. We know you're busy. We make it easy. The Bob Rose Show podcasts have every minute, every issue on demand in one place. Now free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or iHeart. You just hit subscribe. We've got a lot more coming your way on the Bob Rose Show. Greg Cassidy is here, and you're listening to 97.3 The Sky.